the third world, son. Constant occupation leaves the third world. My name is Illy, and I'm a member of the Philadelphia Anarchist Black Cross chapter.
How long has that chapter been around?
So we reformed in August 2017. So prior to that, for many years before that, there was another Philly ABC. The person who was running that has since moved on to Lancaster and is the Lancaster ABC. And we reformed this one in August of 2017. With respects to the old one. And, you know, we kind of just honor that legacy and carry that on. And when we started this one, it was interesting because that person, Tim, has been around for so long that a lot of the prisoners we support, especially the Pennsylvania prisoners, know him very well. So when we started doing letter writings to them and stuff, they were like, oh, yeah, awesome. Tell Tim I said hi and this and that. Yeah, so we're just keeping it going.
Well, for anybody that doesn't know, what is the Anarchist Black Cross and what's its history?
So the Anarchist Black Cross is an organization that supports political prisoners and prisoners of war.
A political prisoner is someone incarcerated for actions carried out in support of struggles for self-determination or for their opposition to the government, its policies, and political subdivisions. And then we also support prisoners of war, those combatants struggling against colonial and alien domination and racist regimes. This is within the context of anarchist and leftist social movements, black liberation, indigenous resistance, war resistors, earth and animal liberation, anti-imperialism, anti-fascism, and so on. Now, I think it should go without saying, but we have been asked this before, and the answer is no. We do not support right-wing movement prisoners who, by some technicality, fall within that definition. We do not support them. We do not consider them political prisoners or prisoners of war. The history is pretty deep. There's a lot more than I can fit within the scope of this interview. But I guess to summarize it, it goes back to, 1905, the first Russian Revolution. Someone named Boris Zelensky, who was politicized before that, but was a fighter in that uprising and had to leave afterwards to avoid repression from the uprising and ended up in the U.S. in around 1907. And formed an anarchist Red Cross chapter in Philadelphia, actually. And prior to that, there was already a Red Cross chapter in New York. And he would later go on to form an anarchist Red Cross chapter in Chicago. And I think there was also one in London, I think, and a couple other places. And then, so that was formed specifically to support anarchist prisoners in Russia, as well as socialist revolutionary prisoners, because the political Red Cross that was around at that time, which initially would support everyone who was imprisoned as a result of challenging the Tsarist regime and part of that uprising, became under the control of social democrats that no longer wanted to support anyone that wasn't in line with their ideals. So the Anarchist Red Cross was basically formed to say, well, you know, fuck you then, we'll support them and we'll take care of this. So Boris would end up going back in 1917 for the second uprising to help out there. And after that, a lot of the, right, so Anarchist Red Cross, ARC, at least in the U.S., kind of dissolved as they found out that a lot of their imprisoned comrades were released. They went there. They were met warmly by people who are now free that were once imprisoned that they were doing support for and so on. And then I guess it's a year after that, Nestor Makhno formed the Black Cross, which sent Black Cross units to various cities and villages in the Ukraine as defense units to organize resistance and defend the workers and their communities against the Red Army, the White Guards, police and anything else. And a lot of people involved in that were former members of the Anarchist Red Cross. And so that work continued. And then also right after the second Russian Revolution, the communists in power at that point turning and persecuting on all the anarchists. And so the ARC was still in formation, still doing its work, and then eventually changed names to Anarchist Black Cross to be distinguishable from the political Red Cross and the International Red Cross, and did not want to be confused between that, and they were very different. So with that, a lot of Anarchist Black Cross members were then persecuted and imprisoned and killed. Many had to flee, but some that were in prison did manage to get released after international campaigns that were mostly led by other anarchists in other places. And then after getting released, they would go on to form, reform Anarchist Black Cross in London, which then it went on to Berlin and Paris and then the United States and so on. And then that continued, let's see, about 1937, I guess, World War II. I think my date's right on that. It at least appears to have fallen apart, as noted just from kind of the weight, the amount of work that ABC had to do at that point to provide support for anarchist prisoners. But what it really just kind of went into different subgroups that just operated and just did the same kind of work, just under different names. And, you know, and they were known as groups that were continuing the work of the Anarchist Black Cross. And that continued on for another couple decades. And then I think it was the late 60s when another ABC chapter appeared in London. And then at an international conference, they proposed, or they put a call for an international Anarchist Black Cross, and that was answered. A chapter was formed in Australia, and they started popping up throughout Europe and in the U.S. again. And then late 70s, black anarchist prisoner Lorenzo Cabot Irvin proposed the formation of an Anarchist Black Cross network. And that didn't come together right away, but it did kind of serve as inspiration for what would happen down the road. And then at the late 80s, ABC groups started forming up again around creating an emergency response network. And that would be mobilizations around, you know, torture, political raids, and anything that would require an emergency action to, and they intended to make that to bring international response like that. And that didn't carry on as long as probably anyone expected it to. That was kind of short-lived, although I'm sure there were some groups that continued to carry on that in a smaller capacity. And then in 94, there was a conference of various ABC chapters, and it was just to talk about, you know, how can we come together and more collectively do political prisoner support and also reform an emergency response network. And then by 95, the Anarchist Black Cross Federation had formed, and that is carried on to this day.
The ABCF was founded in part by a rotating committee of five political prisoners and prisoners of war. And at times that included Jan Lehmann, Bill Dunn, and Ojeri Letalo, just to name a few. And they were involved in decision-making with the Federation, including decisions on which prisoners were receiving insufficient, little, or no financial support, who should be recipients of the War Chest program.
Well, let's talk about Running Down the Walls. How did that start? Because now there's Anarchist Black Cross chapters and other anarchists and prison abolitionist groups that will organize Running Down the Walls events, largely in September. Just tell us what it is and what's the idea behind it.
Since 99, the ABCF started up doing Running Down the Walls, which was to support the ABCF War Chest program that was initiated back in 94, actually. But in 99, groups got together to participate in the very first Running Down the Walls, which is a 5K. You can run, you can walk. It's always meant to be accessible. You know, you can show up and participate in any way you can to show solidarity and to raise funds for the ABCF War Chest, which sends monthly stipends to political prisoners with little or lacking financial support. And so typically how it's gone, some groups will maybe give all of it to the War Chest. Some like to split it between the War Chest and other local causes. What we usually do is split it between a local Pennsylvania political prisoner and the rest of the ABCF War Chest. Prior to this iteration of Philadelphia ABC, I was working with Denver ABC, and we used to have our own separate local war chest where we would send stipends to a few other prisoners who aren't covered by the larger Federation war chest. And that's how we chose to split our funds. And so every year, groups get together and organize this. And what I like the most about it is that incarcerated people do this with us. So there's been various political prisoners over the year, as well as politicized or prisoners of conscience, that do this and participate in this with us, whether it's something that they can run around a track inside the yard, or, you know, whether it's, you know, I've heard of people measuring the distance from one end of their cell to the other and figuring out how many times they have to jog back and forth to make it a 5K. Or, you know, folks that are in a smaller cage and, you know, hardly have enough space just to lie down and do push-ups. But if push-ups or high kicks or some sort of exercise they can do for that, they'll do that with us. And the way it used to work, when there were more chapters around and more coordination with it, we used to try and coordinate it so that it would all kick off at the exact same time and coordinating across time zones, right? So if the East Coast one started at 11, then the West Coast one, you know, started at 8 and everything in between, so that it would actually in the exact moment all kick off at the same time. It doesn't really do that anymore, but that's just kind of some of the history of what it is and what it's been. And these have taken place, in several different, you know, so-called U.S. states and areas in Canada.
And when you talk about the Anarchist Black Cross, War Chest, you're talking about something that's giving money every month to political prisoners.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome, because, I mean, it just the amount of money that's given out and just the fact that, I mean, so for instance, like a prisoner like Eric King, I believe, is on the list, and he'll get, you know, money that can then be used to, you know, just buy basic stuff or pay for, you know, family to come out or food or, you know, whatever the needs are.
Yep, for anything he needs. And, yeah, so it's monthly stipends. They used to go out each month. Currently it's 2 months worth of it go out every 2 months, but yeah, same thing. But yeah, and it was $40 a month for a long time. As of last year, we raised a lot more than we normally do, so we upped it to $50. And then there's also funds on reserve for emergency disbursements. If there's, like, let's say there's an advancement in a case and there's an immediate need for help with legal funds, we can make a donation. When Julio Montequim got out, when Chuck Africa got out, right, we made disbursements from the War Chest to help them get on their feet, like post-release disbursements as well. So there's some on reserve for that too, where we can also send these out to other folks as needed, in addition to those getting the monthly stipends.